It is Locked On Jazz here on Locked On Live. Today, we'll talk about Donovan Mitchell and Mike Conley, another one of those amazing moments between Donovan and a veteran. We'll discuss the changing in the league's shot distribution, get you ready for the Kings, and take your questions as we come to you live from Sacramento on this Friday. It is Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, hopefully making it a lot better for you to be a Jazz fan. Thanks very much for tuning in today. We are coming to you on Locked On Live as well. Thank you very much. We're live on Twitch, YouTube, Facebook, all on Locked On Live, and we are live on Periscope on Locked On Live or Locked On Sports as well. Thanks for subscribing, following us on those channels, and thank you for being a part of Locked On Jazz. All right, I got a bunch of things I wanted to talk about. Big one, Joshua McGrath on Facebook drops it right away. Kings could be hungry for a win. I hope we take care of business. I don't have a great feel on tonight. I'll be totally honest with you on that. I do not have a great feel on tonight. One, watching the Kings against Charlotte on the plane flight out, the Kings looked much better than they had earlier in the year when they played us or when they played Phoenix. They just looked like they have it a little bit more together. There was more semblance to their offense. They're the 30th ranked offense in the game in the half court right now. And they're not great defensively, but really their problem is when they get in the half court. Now, we did an incredible job against them in game one of keeping them out of transition and just zapping their energy. And I think that the energy game is probably going to go in the direction of the Kings tonight for a few reasons. One, if they have any pride at all, they're 0-5. There's a lot of uproar around here about how bad they are. And then two, we've had a funky schedule. I'm not about to like tell you like, but there, you know, you're just talking about this incremental difference that could take place that makes you a little less good than you would be otherwise. And in the case of the Jazz, this is our sixth game in without being in the same city twice in a row. We don't do that until the next two games coming up at home against Milwaukee and Philadelphia on Wednesday and Friday. We'll get a little break there. We've just been on a plane or played a game every single day of the season, so there's been no practice time for the guys. There's been no time to work on anything really. So I could just, it just feels as though kind of the little tiny pieces of the script all push toward the Kings today. So I wouldn't be surprised at all if this one doesn't, you know, become one that is a little tough, or frankly, if the Kings get us tonight, I wouldn't panic about it either. If that happens, it just feels as though the script is working that direction. I want to take a bunch of your questions and get your thoughts today. I wanted to touch on I thought it was interesting. I saw this actually, and this is where I also think this is interesting. I saw this on Mike Conley's Instagram. So on Mike Conley's Instagram, there was a picture of Donovan Mitchell just jumping up on top of Mike, giving him this like mammoth hug after the game, this incredible exuberance, this is where Donovan is really special. One is, I think Donovan is kind of sends this message that it's okay to be emotional. Donovan is really outward with his emotions and outgoing in whether it's, you know, coming out of the Cheesecake Factory to give somebody his shoes or to sign all these autographs or even with his teammates, he's this way. He's just such an outgoing personality that it has an impact on the group. And I just thought it was a really interesting moment of this third-year player jumping on top of this 13-year veteran who's one of the kind of staples in the league, you know, who was teammate of the year and sportsman of the year. And one is the kind of social confidence that Donovan has, his willingness to, like, jump on Mike Conley. Two is the fact that it brings this, it takes Mike Conley maybe to a little place of one of acceptance, which frankly, in some places, you know, the third year player looking for his first All-Star bid against this veteran coming in and just dropped 29 and took his points. you know, is not the greatest thing ever. And frankly, Donovan's still got his 24, so we'll understand when the day comes that, you know, if Donovan's only getting 16, maybe, you know, there'll be a little grumble. But the fact is that I think that the – I don't know if I'm explaining this well. So it this group has been very tied together and very bonded, and Donovan's very awesome and kind of saying, well, that's because of these guys and what they – it's actually because of Donovan a little bit. And Donovan has this rising star's willingness to be that excited for Mike Conley – and then Donovan's pride in being this outgoing personality. I always refer to him as the kid because he kind of reminds me of when Ken Griffey Jr. was at his peak. You know, that's what the nickname of the kid was of Ken Griffey Jr. I think he's got a little Russell Wilson to him, though. Russell Wilson's a little above his teammates in a way. And so I don't know if Russell Wilson's probably not as good now. It's always kind of who I thought he – I haven't used those two from my Seattle ties. Nonetheless, I think you get the point. Like, if you go look at Mike Conley's Mac 10 Instagram, it was on a story yesterday, so I don't quite know if that's still up. But you just see Donovan jumping on him. You see them hugging the water and all. But this is more. It brings Mike, who's a very consistent, diligent, straightforward person, into this maybe this willingness to show some emotion that he didn't in the past. And I think it's a neat little moment there. So I wanted to jump on that. I thought it was cool. By the way, Rudy Gobert had 17 screen assists the other day. 17 screen assists the other day. That's pretty incredible. That, I think, might be a career high. I don't know if I can go through every game and find out his game-by-game screen assists. Maybe I will have to. I don't know if there's a way to do it without looking at the box score of every single game, but it might be something I have to look at to try to figure out, because I think that, you know, when you look at it, he is certainly doing incredible things for the Jazz in the way that they are. In the way he is approaching these things and doing these things. Someone told me I had a little echo. I wonder if I just solved it. If I did, thank you very much. That's a good catch on your part. Thanks to Josh Haskell, 50. Maybe I just caught it a little bit there. I might have moved myself off the computer and onto the mic. If that's the case, thank you. If not, I have no idea how to get rid of the echo that might be existing on the live broadcast. A lot of little pieces. We're still learning this. That's why we haven't launched it on the whole network yet. I'm the guinea pig who keeps trying it every day to try to figure out what things we can do and what things need to get better. I also love the fact that Rudy has this kind of element to him, that Rudy is now taking pride in the fact that he is on the screen assist. Like, Rudy's perfectly aware he had 17 screen assists the other day. And that's awesome, right? So that's incredible that Rudy's taking that time and effort and energy to be aware of how, you know, what he's doing and how much impact he's having on things. All right, I want to take your questions and your thoughts, and then I want to share some stuff about little early trends on shot selection and those kind of things. Today's show is brought to you in part by Murdoch Hyundai. Murdoch Hyundai is located at 4646 South State Street. They're doing amazing things over there. The Palisade is probably the car that most people are talking about, but the new Sonata is coming out. It is amazing as well. The way it works, if I've understood this correctly, is the car dealers in the car business is you make a technological advancement, you actually get it for about a year, and then because it's a safety issue, you then have to pass it on to the other car dealerships, and they can decide what they want to spend on it. Hyundai's on the cutting edge of a lot of these things. The back door that doesn't open if a car is coming is one of those examples. They do amazing work with that. And you see that when you go look and go take a Hyundai for a test drive and you see all the bells and whistles that you can get from Hyundai, that's one of the things you'll notice, is that you just get more for your dollar. The Palisade is the new car that is the 8-seater. The Santa Fe is what we have. That is the regular 2-row car. And then the Tucson and the Kona are a little bit smaller from there. If you're going to head over to Murdoch Hyundai, please give me a call. Like, or you don't have to call me. How about, that's probably a little more personal. How about you just email me? And let me know what's going on. And when you email me, I'll send it over to Jason over at Murdoch. I'll send it to Blake over in Linden, unless Blake's going to be at the Murray store as well. And I will, if you're up in Logan, I'll send it to Ben. And then we'll be waiting for you. Make sure you get treated great. So if you're in the market for a car and you're looking for a Hyundai, at least add it to your list. You decide what you want to buy, but at least add it to your list. Go to 4646 South State Street. Excuse me. And stop by, or in Linden and in Logan. If you're going to do it, please email me first at dlock09@gmail.com. Indochino is the largest made-to-measure men's suit company. You can get great discounts at Indochino right now by being a Locked On listener. So make sure you do exactly that by going to Indochino.com and entering Locked On at checkout. All right, let's get to your questions and your thoughts. By the way, the Friday Locked On NBA show is up. It is Anthony Irwin and Adam Modest. Ben Golliver and I are doing every Thursdays and having a lot of fun with that. If you haven't tuned into it, I appreciate it. All right, little interesting note for you. So smart shots in the NBA. Restricted area or threes. In the 17-18 season, they were 65% of all shots. Last year, they were 68.9% of all shots. So it increased by 3%. This year, it's up to 70.5% of all shots. So we're still increasing. Shots in the restricted area are actually down a little bit. This goes to a Kevin Pelton thing that Kevin Pelton used to always talk about, where Kevin Pelton talked about how if you, the defenses dictate the rim and offenses dictate the three. And what we're seeing in the league right now is we are seeing the defenses dictate the rim. There is a fundamental switch defensively of what's taking place in the opening weeks of the season. And that is that teams are placing their big right in front of the basket and not allowing you to get to the rim the way you used to. It's an interesting thing. It is allowing teams, or it's kind of bringing the big man back, right? The Brook Lopez of the world is back. Now your ideal big man becomes the big man that on offense can then shoot the three because their big man is sitting right at the rim. So now Karl Anthony Towns, Kristaps Porzingis, Brook Lopez, all they have to do is stand at the rim defensively. It's not that hard to do. And offensively, if they can shoot the three, they're going to be open because everyone's setting their big at the rim. Pretty interesting little twist on the league. So 3-point shots are up about 2 percentage points. Rim shots are down about half a percentage point. And so you are seeing, you're seeing that change. That's a pretty big story, actually, if you're watching the league. So let me try to summarize it because I don't think I did a great job. 2 years ago, everybody went to switching defenses and all those kind of trapping and doing a bunch of other things, and it didn't work. The teams that were better were Milwaukee and Utah that were ahead of the game, that were dropping their big, putting them in front of the rim. Milwaukee really did it last year, and that was denying teams getting any shots at the rim. And that's the holy grail, is the rim. Last year, Milwaukee took it to the nth degree. Milwaukee went and just held people to 30% of their shots at the rim and allowed you to shoot threes. The Jazz are the only team right now in the league that's actually denying the rim and denying the three. Pretty awesome. It's why we might still be great defensively, and if we're still great defensively, we're just going to be great. The league as a whole is now dropping. The amount of shots at the rim are subtly going down. Threes are still moving up. We're still moving in that direction. So kind of an interesting little twist. From Periscope, CR Taylor 14, if the defense is taking the rim from Rudy, why are the Jazz not having so many catch and shoots? It's a great question. You know, part of it, frankly, is our second unit. Emmanuel Mudiay and Jeff Green want to play one-on-one, and they take mid-range shots. And it doesn't seem like, well, okay, it's only our second unit. But if you start to look at the Jazz numbers on catch and shoots compared to What they have been doing, it's, and if you suddenly go from being a heavy three-point shooting team for, you know, that's like it's three stints, 16 minutes is 25% of your minutes. Well, then you go from 20 wide open threes to 16. You go from 24 catch and shoot threes to 19. Mike Conley also has a tendency to like that little floater. Donovan's pretty heavy in the mid-range. We're becoming a pretty heavy mid-range team right now. It's a little unnerving, frankly. There's two things offensively that I don't love that are going on. I understand them. I don't love them. One is how heavy we are mid-range. And two, we're not offensive rebounding at all. And when you don't offensive rebound at all, it's hard to be good offensively. Like, those are possessions. So we probably need to pick up our offensive rebounding game a tiny bit. Cody W. King from Facebook says, early I was super worried about rotations with Ed Davis. Seems like Ed is playing, proving me wrong and giving incredible effort, playing well. Would you attribute that to Ed Davis just playing hard or Ed absorbing what Quinn has taught him? So Ed Davis, what does Ed Davis do well? He sets great, plays with great energy. He sets great picks. He executes defensively, and he's a super vet, and he's great in the locker room. What does he not do well? Catch the ball on the pick and roll. Finish on the pick and roll. No jump shot. He's not big, right? He's pretty slender. So early on, I think the Jazz were trying to, the players were trying to use him like faves. So Ingles was coming off pick and roll looking, trying to find pocket passes to him. That's just not who he is. Derek's exceptional at that. Now you've seen the Jazz make this subtle adjustment to let him, which is to play Donovan with the second unit. I don't know if I've gotten into this, but there was a rotation change the other night. And so Donovan actually is coming out at the 6-minute mark. And then Donovan's coming back and playing with that second group. Now, Moody and Green have got to keep moving it to make this work. And, you know, Emmanuel's natural instinct is he just beats somebody off the bounce and then passes. You're still going to have to work it around that way. I think that if you would, you now have Donovan with that second unit, Donovan can use Ed Davis as that pick setter and then go get his look. And Donovan's a pretty good passer off those things as well. So this is a better way to use Ed Davis. Ed Davis is also, you know, he sets the pick and then goes to get the rebound. He's one of the best offensive rebounders in the league. Jazz defensive rebounding is through the roof great right now, and Ed Davis is a large part of that. Somebody asked whether Tony Bradley would be better than Ed Davis. Tony Bradley deserves a lot of credit. He's played really well. And they're just as he's just got blocks in front of him. The real question on that is a April question, more than anything else, is whether or not in April Tony Bradley would be better than Ed Davis. Now, Ed Davis, if you really believe in Tony Bradley, Ed Davis is one of our very few tradable contracts, but I don't think that's the direction we would head with him. All right, let me run through what some of the questions that have come in. Any defenses are defenses actively taking away the lob to Gobert, or is it just happening right now due to the chemistry that just started to form with Conley? I think there's a little bit of each. I think that Mike, like, here's an example that somebody who's way smarter in basketball taught me yesterday, so I'll steal it. So when Mike Conley is used to playing with most of his guards, he gets to the kind of the free throw line or most of his bigs, he gets to the free throw line or a step inside, and he has to make that decision. Because Rudy has such amazing gravity, and since Rudy is such a force, the bigs actually stay closer to Rudy than they've ever done. So if Mike's used to shooting at 12 feet, he actually can get into like 6 feet or 8 feet to be able to take that shot now, because the big is going to stay tighter to Rudy. And then if they step out, you can go get Rudy. But because the big is so attached to Rudy because of his 306 dunks last year, when Mike's been making his decision, he's wide open. He's used to taking the shot. That's the moment in his rhythm where he regularly takes that shot. But because Rudy's different than any other big he's ever played with, that opposing big is just up against Rudy and giving Mike that room, allows Mike to actually take one or two more dribbles in to be able to possibly get himself even closer to the basket. So kind of a cool little difference in what the subtle adjustments are. Don't think for 1 second that I understood that. Somebody told that to me, made total sense. I got it. Now I'll keep an eye out for it. But if you ever wonder, like, Oh my gosh, how'd Locke know that? No. That's just me stealing other people's information. 100%. Not even slightly. Hollinger and Duncan comes out every Sunday night and Monday on Locked On Podcast Network. I'm sure you've heard about it, so make sure you go grab Hollinger and Duncan. And then Rejecting the Screen is the Tuesday and Thursday national show for you with Noah Kozlov and Adam Stanko. They had Richard Jefferson on this week and had some really fun stuff with him. And then the final one for you is, of course, that Locked On NBA is still there for you every single day. Super appreciate all your support on the network and everything about the network and what we're doing. It's been, you guys have really led to some very exciting things. Today's broadcast is brought to you in part by Stealth Media. Eric Ellis and the crew over at Stealth do a great job. They're a DirecTV and AT&T provider for you. DirecTV gives you 72-hour rewind if you forgot to record something. That keeps the kids happy. Plus, when you take your DirecTV on the road with AT&T, it doesn't use your data. You have the best coverage. You save money. You take it on the go. Sunday NFL ticket comes with with your DirecTV. If you're a new subscriber and have the right packages, you get the Sunday NFL ticket for free as well. Eric's also got a really cool deal he set up. He understands what guys want. We're trying to build ourselves a man cave. So instead of making you go to, you know, some other big box store to go get it done, Eric's going to make sure that he has the best prices on the biggest TVs for you, the highest quality, best TVs for you as well when you get your setup so they can all install it for you at once. Call Eric and the crew at Stealth Media, 385-399-4186. That's 385-399-4186. $100 gift card for you as well if you tell Eric that you're with Locked On Jazz. All right, let's get to some more questions before I get to go have coffee with Igor. Yay! Hey, David, from the YouTube Locked On live feed, Kenny says, I love your analysis, big fan. You just get a little quiet. You just got a little quiet, by the way. Okay, well, thank you very much. We fixed that, and it's only because you guys. From Twitch, SuperFin23, do you think Moutier can stay consistent? So Moutier's game right now is that he just beats his guy off the bounce and then creates the offense off of that, which is pretty cool because there aren't a lot of guys that can do that. And he also plays really fast in transition. He's got to pass the basketball, though. He's got to pass the basketball more. He's just not a natural passer. And our team is a pass and touch. And there's in his eight-minute stints right now, there are two possessions per 8 minutes where he goes down the floor and doesn't pass and takes a shot. And it's actually, in my opinion, irrelevant if he makes that shot. It's contrary to what we do as a team. It's not how our guys want to play. Moreover, it doesn't lead to conducive, you know, that builds on itself. Once you make one possession without passes, then you don't pass the next time also. So I think that's, that to me, his scoring's been nice. His ability to finish at the rim's much better. His mid-range jumper seems to be legitimately improved from last year. And now he's on the floor with Donovan. And so he's got to play. And, you know, what would be great is if he's learned how to play on the weak side, because then you use that strong body and drive to the basket and it's off some passes and then he goes to work. What's the word on Dante? Do you know if he's close to coming back healthy since he's with the Stars? So I don't know a lot on this one, but here's what I do know. So he's practiced yesterday and the day before with the Stars. I believe he's practicing with the Stars again today. I thought that the Stars were heading somewhere out of town, and so my thought was that Dante then didn't have anyone to practice with and then would practice with us on Tuesday. But I looked at their schedule, so they might have some preseason games or something that's not on their schedule. I don't really know. But their schedule they don't start till a week from now in South Dakota, so I might be wrong on this. But, yeah, I mean, this is the progression. 2-on-2, 3-on-3, and now some practices and contact. Now, does that mean, like, Wednesday against Milwaukee or Philadelphia? I don't have any idea. That seems fast to me. It's much earlier than what we talked about in November. I mean, I never heard November at all. So so it may be simply that he's just now ready to practice and he needs 10 practices. And so he got three of them here because we haven't practiced since the season started. And then he practices with us on Tuesday. That's four practices. And maybe on Thursday we do something. That's five practices. And then I think we go to Golden State. So Like, I don't know. I don't know. But it is the natural progression. But how close we are to the finish line, I don't have the answer to that. So hope that's all right. From Twitch, what do you believe is the reason we are taking less threes this year? Well, I think we have a lot of heavy mid-range players. Mike Conley's a heavy mid-range player. Jeff Green's a heavy mid-range player. Emmanuel Mudiay's a heavy mid-range player. Donovan Mitchell's a heavy mid-range player. And I think they're going to have – and Bojan doesn't hate to do it. I think they're going to have to adjust. I don't love our shot selection right now. We've got to find a way to get – you know, we're – and Mudiay and Jeff Green's natural instinct is to play one-on-one and not necessarily move the basketball the same way we have. And so – how do we get them back? I mean, the interesting one is we're shooting 38.6% from three, and I think we could probably be a 40% three-point shooting team. And if that's the case, we really have to find a way to get them along the way. From YouTube, so we haven't seen the Mitchell, Conley, Ingles, Bogey, Gobert lineup. We have. Do you think this is due to the situational lineup needs, or will they just be the norm? No, they played the final 5 minutes of the second quarter the other night, and they were terrible. They didn't make any shots. And they completely fell apart, and they got outscored 12-4. They were better on the other stint of it. They had played about 10 possessions together coming in to the game as a group, and I think they probably played another 20 the other night. So I'll try to tweet it out for you. I try not to have the internet up because it creates a lag when we have the stream up. But I think you'll see them more and more, and I think the new rotation that they're using is allowing that to happen. Kawhi year 9 has really come into his own. Year 7, until Zaza ended his run, can Rudy make a second jump? No, those are not the same players. Rudy's been great. But Rudy and Kawhi are not players that you could use as models for each other's career. But Kawhi seems to have needed to get out of San Antonio to kind of really understand what he's able to do. It's interesting. I have a question, says Josh Haskell on Periscope. Do you think Bradley should be getting minutes over Ed Davis? No, because I think Ed Davis is an important piece to this team, and particularly in the playoffs, but I do think that Tony Bradley has earned himself minutes. I just don't know where they come from. So that's a little bit of a no and a little bit of a yes. The yes is a positive to Tony Bradley, not a negative to Ed Davis. All right. Much like the draw play in football is necessary to get play action to work later. I don't know what that is in reference to. Sorry, Richie Byes. Who do you think should be the number two scoring option on this team as far as running plays for them? Bojan Bogdanović. And Mike Conley, Rudy Gobert, pick and rolls. And that's why Donovan goes out, 6 minute mark, and then Donovan comes in after that. That's been a nice, subtle little adjustment that they've made. Is Jeff Green bigger than Ed Davis? He definitely weighs more. I don't think he's taller. It's a good note. Are rotations going to solidify at all this season? Seems like rotations are going to be situational. Well, it depends if we think we can really start Royce every night. So what happens when we play Anthony Davis? What happens when we play LaMarcus Aldridge? Do we need to go to Jeff Green on those nights? As we get better, I think there's more chance we solidify and we just decide this is who we are. You got to deal with us. And then maybe make some substitutions differently. But I understand. I mean, you don't want these guys getting beat up by having to guard bigger guys every single night. That's a truly legitimate concern. You mentioned Mudiay is the key to the team before the season started. How do you feel he is doing? Okay. I'm not as much of... I would say his box score is better than his game. But his box score is good. Does that make sense? There's just stuff he... You know, defensively, there's good moments and bad moments. He's learning. He's a willing learner. He's trying to get better. It's great. But he's got ways to go. And he's showing it. Like, that's the neat thing. He's going to get better and better and better as the season goes on. I think that's the exciting thing. From Periscope, do you understand the so-called fans' constant criticism of Dante? I don't get it. I mean, I guess you're frustrated because you forget that they're human. So the minute you forget someone's human, which we have completely done in social networking, then you're able to be critical. I mean, if, you know, I know Dante personally and a huge fan of his, so I'm rooting for him. He's gone through a heck of a lot of injuries. His, you know, he seems to be fighting through it impressively well, considering what he's been through. I'm generally overwhelmed by his stick-to-itiveness. From Twitch, David, I know I'm looking way too far ahead, but would you rather match up in the potential final series against the Bucks or the Sixers? I will not answer that question, but I will leave the show with it, because what a 4-1 start can do to all of us. And by the way, we're the number one seed in the Western Conference right now. Have a great one. This is Locked On Jazz, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Thanks very much for tuning in on Locked On Live and participating in our questions. We super appreciate it. Thanks for all you've done for us. Hopefully we bring you high-quality programming every day and you enjoy it. Now go tell your smart speaker to play the most recent episode of podcast Locked On NBA.